The big question in Jesus' ministry was, are you saying that you're greater than Moses? And Jesus, if I could gather all his answers together, was something like, Moses was great, and he works for me. John puts it this way in the first chapter of his gospel. If you want to turn there just for a second. John in chapter 1. And we're going to be kind of going around the Bible today because Moses is just everywhere. He's that big of a guy. John chapter 1 and verse 16. From the fullness of his grace, we all have received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So you see the kind of company that he's put in. He is the one part of the one blessing after another, right up next to the Lord Jesus. He's very important. He's not more important than Jesus, and he's not as important. But he's the guy from the Old Testament. And we'll see a little bit more of this as we go, but let's move on. Moses ended up doing a lot more in his life than he really wanted to do. I think he was pretty good with shepherding some sheep. And God said, you're good at this. I'm going to make you a shepherd over a little bit bigger flock. Your people. And there's a bunch of them. And Moses negotiated with God up until God got angry, and then he led his people out of physical slavery. He led them out of their physical slavery, and then they had to decide about whether they wanted to leave their spiritual slavery. It's very hard for people who have been in prison and in slavery, very hard for them to get used to being free. And the children of Israel struggled with that quite a bit. When they were coming out of Egypt, Pharaoh changed his mind and brought his army, and they were up against the sea, and was sort of like Dunkirk, you know? And God had brought them right up to the sea. And I love this verse in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. They're panicking because the Egyptians are coming and they're right up against the sea. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Oh, right. Why didn't I think of that? God made him do things that never had come into his mind. And why did God do this? Look at the end of chapter 14, verse 31. And when the Israelites saw the great power that the Lord had displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses his servant. God was trying to get them focused on who they were and who they were dealing with. So he brought them out from physical slavery, and then he had to lead the next generation out of their spiritual slavery. Let's turn now to the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book in the Bible. It's the last book in the Law of Moses, and it's really Moses, kind of his swan song. He's writing this late. He's writing this to the next generation, who is going to have to go in and do what their parents would not do. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and let me start at verse 34. And this is Moses talking to this generation. He says, when the Lord heard what you said, and when he says you, he means their parents. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your forefathers, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and he will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on. because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me also, Moses, and said, you shall not enter it either, but your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. And the little ones that you said would be taken captive, your children, who do not yet know good from bad, they will enter the land. I will give it to them, and they will take possession of it. But as for you, turn around and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. And so he led them out of physical slavery, and then out of spiritual slavery as well. I think we have to be in this relationship with God. He's going to give us more than we want. Good example here with Moses. Negotiate, but obey. God wants you to negotiate with him. Not that he's going to change his mind so much, but it's going to get you and me, as we get our hands around what God is trying to get us to do, I can't do that. God says, no, you can't really, but you could do this right next to it. And you would have never seen this unless I brought you to this place that scared you half to death. Or he might say, no, I gave you all the tools you need. You can do this. So you step up to it and you do it. Let God decide your calling. You might think that this calling in your life is beneath you. I don't want to do that. I can do a lot more. I can do better than that. You might think it's impossibly high. There's no way I can do that. Let God set you out on your road. You are saved by the blood of Jesus the Christ. You are empowered by his resurrection. You are empowered by his Holy Spirit. And you are gifted by his Holy Spirit. You got all kind of stuff that the Israelites never had at all. He has given great gifts to his people. And we have those gifts. And so, negotiate, but obey. If he's nudging you to get out the door and get down a certain direction, yeah, but I don't know what'll happen. Just get going. They didn't know what was going to happen when they left Egypt. Oh. I guess we're up against this. Well, I guess we'll walk through here. Oh, we're at this mountain. We're going to be here for a while. You go to the next place that God's taking you. He'll get you there where you need to go. Moses, he was a friend of God. He was a friend of God. God says, regular prophets I send visions to. Moses, he actually sees me. I talk to him. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians. He says that Moses glowed when he came out from those meetings with God. And he wore a veil so that people wouldn't see how the glory was fading after he left the Lord. God told Moses, you write this down. You write down this story. And you tell this story. God says, I have my book. In fact, one of the times when God was in an argument with Moses, God said, Moses, I'll just wipe out the whole bunch of them and I'll start over with you. How about that? Moses says, God, if you do that, rub me out of your book as well. It was a test and he passed. God wanted to find out what kind of a shepherd he really was. And he loved his flock. He was good with that. But God has a book, and we have a book that is our lives. We don't really know what our lives mean until we see his book, but he wants us to get out there, the parts we're beginning to understand, to do it. So Moses wrote down everything from in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all the way to the Ten Commandments. Moses gave us a trajectory to the Messiah. Starting in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the snake. Genesis 49, Judah will have this leader's staff until it comes to the one to whom obedience is owed, the obedience of the nations. That's in the book of Genesis. Then the book of Numbers. A star is rising from Jacob, a scepter from Israel, a leader, a king's coming. Then later on in that chapter, Numbers chapter 23 and verse 22, it says, they will come out of Egypt, the nation of Israel. Got that. And then the next chapter at verse at 24, chapter 24, verses 7 and 8, it says the same thing, but in the singular. He, your king, will come out of Egypt. And the prophet Hosea, generations later, picks up on that and says, out of Egypt I called my son. And then Matthew, the gospel writer, dials that in. Oh, that's the Lord Jesus, you see? And so they're each reading this expanding revelation that God is bringing to each new generation. And so Moses was an amazing, influential guy in human history. And for us, he wants us to do the same thing. We're not Moses. I'm not Moses. He hasn't called me to such an amazing thing. But he has called me to write and tell my story. Have you done that? That is one of the big pushes in our vitality process this year, is to get people ready to tell their story in our small groups. The group that went to Israel a year ago, we sat and we told each other our stories back and forth, and we helped each other, you know, why don't you tell it this way or not worry about that. If you practice something, you'll get better at it. How did God get you to change your life? Well, we want, you know, we'll start with a 10-pager. Why don't you get it down to one paragraph, you know? Like Bugs Bunny said, first I was born, which goes without saying. Well, don't say that. We don't need to, we know that. We're good. Get to the part where you can, somebody asks you, why do you do this? Why do you believe this? Ah, funny you should ask. Thus and so happened. And so, get ready to tell your story. You never know where God will take that story. You just never know. We were on a bus on that trip from the coast, Bat Yam, going up to Jerusalem. And of course, if you lead one of these things, you have to be the first one in the batter's box. So the guy we were with, and he's, all the people on the bus, there's 50 of them, the only languages they speak are Russian and maybe Hebrew, and they understand a little bit of English, and we got no Russian and Hebrew, and so it's all being translated. It's got to be concise. And so as he's explaining to me who these people are on the bus, I realized that the story I had prepared wasn't the appropriate one for this group. And so because I had done the work of developing one line of this story, I realized there was a different way to tell it that would make more sense to them. And I was able to do that in the time period. You've got to talk between now and the time we get to the place where we're picking up our tour guide. Okay. All these people looking at me, they're from all over the world, mostly Russia, now Israel. But God is able to do that. If He wants you to invest something in it. So we're going to spend some time this year doing that. Hopefully getting some of them on videotape. I've been pushing this for a while. We'll find somebody who knows how to do that. Tell the story that Christ has written in your heart. Your life is a story. Finally this, Moses was a model of the next great prophet. I said he gave us the trajectory for the Messiah. The last bit of that piece is in the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 18, he says, God is going to send you another prophet like me. Now remember how he described that prophet? It's not like a regular guy with vision. This is somebody who talks with me face to face, who knows me personally, is my friend, and I'm his friend. God's going to send somebody else like that to you. Moses says to this generation. I'm going to die, but you'll be waiting for someone like that. And then the last verse in the book, or 34:10, it says that we haven't yet seen a prophet like Moses in Israel. And so when you open the Gospels, it says people are coming. Okay, so are you the prophet? They were looking. And Jesus was that prophet. He says, I'm going to send somebody like Moses from his brothers. And so Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, as was foretold. Moses said in this book of Deuteronomy, the law is going to fail. He says, that's not because it's so hard. It's because your hearts aren't going to let you do it. You're going to forget about God. But look for the prophet like me, because you need him. And so we're called to model for the next generation what it looks like. Prepare the next generation for their mission. And that's what we're doing. That's why we have done these renovations, why we're doing them, and they're just beautiful. That's why we're doing this vitality process, because the next generation needs to hear. That is our mission. Just as it was Moses' mission in the book of Deuteronomy. Nope, not going to work. Sorry. Prepare the way for the next generation. Moses was a great, great man. And we get the opportunity to have many more tools in our hands. You'll see Moses in the New Testament, and you'll see him on the Mount of Transfiguration, standing with Jesus and with Elijah. They're all together in this thing. They're not competing with one another. Jesus said, Moses gave you bread from heaven, and I am the bread from heaven. I am the sustenance that you need. And so Moses was leading us to our Lord. All right, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your servant Moses, who brought many amazing things to us in this book of the law. He lived a long time, and you gave him amazing strength. You gave him amazing courage, amazing patience. And we're still living off of what falls out of his back pockets, as it were. And it's because of him that we were able to see and recognize Jesus the Messiah, King of everything, when he came to us. Lord, help us to be encouraged to be like your heroes of the faith, like Moses, who led the way, who modeled for the next generation, who was a real person, who didn't use that as an excuse not to do your will, who negotiated but obeyed. All those things help us to write and tell our story. Thank you for the opportunity. Lord, change us this year as a body and as an individual, each of us, because of these people that you told us about. And we will thank you for this today in the name of our Savior and our Lord Jesus. Amen.